Welcome to the Free From Mummies podcast, brought to you by Kate and Jade, mates, mums, and allergy and asthma advocates.
Hello and welcome to Series 2, Episode 2 of the Free From Mummies podcast. In this episode, we are joined by Jay from Ashfenley, and she shares with us her allergy journey and also talks to us about her coaching business. In this episode, we also talk about the term good baby and how this is often bandied about with newborns and what determines a good baby and our experiences of that. We talk about siblings and allergies, and we also share a bit about how our partners deal with allergies and how it's been a learning curve for the whole family. We hope that you'll stick around and enjoy this episode, and we thank you once again for joining us. Today we are absolutely honoured to be joined by Jay, allergy coach and founder of Ashfenley. Hi Jay.
Hi Kate, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
I'm good, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, Kate and Jade.
Yeah, we're really excited. I see your Instagram a lot and you share some really helpful things on there, and a lot of people will be able to relate to it.
Yeah, thank you so much. I try doing my best as much as I can post on there, being a mum of two children.
Of course, yeah, that's a challenge in itself. It's almost a full-time job, I think, trying to post to social media and have little ones around.
Yes, I followed you for a long time, Jay, so I feel like I know you.
Hey, oh my God, like, I think when I first started my Instagram page, I think we connected for the first time, and I started it last year, so I've been following your journey as well, and I love everything that you share. And you know, one of the things that is really relatable when you talk about Brody's asthma and what it's been like, because it's something that I have experienced myself as a child, many nights in hospital with wheeze attacks and being on steroid tablets, and then obviously having Ash as well go through a similar journey, even like with Aaron as well, where you know he spent time in hospital with wheeze attacks and stuff. So yeah, totally relatable.
Oh, I know, it's such a lovely community, isn't it? So it's really nice that we get to have a proper conversation on here.
Definitely. So I fell pregnant with Ash in 2012. My pregnancy was healthy, didn't have any medical issues or anything. And then when Ash was born, day two, he developed jaundice. And it was severe jaundice to the point that he needed potentially needed a blood transfusion. It's just one of those things, isn't it? Like
those lights, those seeing them under there. I remember Quill being under those lights, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, absolutely frightening, especially when you're a first-time mum as well, and you don't know what's really going on. And jaundice was one thing that I did not look into, because it wasn't something that was spoken about in my midwife appointments, and when you are a first-time mum, I don't think there's much information given as to the kind of things that you should be looking out for, except for make sure you're eating all the foods, like, you know, you're eating nuts, you're eating dairy and eggs and everything. But at no point did anyone ever say that you should be mindful of allergies, because these are kind of things that could happen. So then day two, it was actually Manjit that saw Ash and said, he's looking a bit yellow, like, have you spoken to the nurse? And I was like, oh, I didn't even notice this. So the nurse came in, and I said to her that, you know, Ash is looking a bit yellow. She opens the curtain and said, yeah, don't worry about it, just put him under sunlight and he'll be absolutely fine. And by the time Manjit came back in the afternoon, Ash was like very yellow, and he wasn't awake. He wasn't crying for feeds. I actually thought he was a really good baby, like just sleeping there and not wanting a feed. And there were like babies everywhere crying in the ward, right? And then when Manjit then raised it, and then the nurse came and she said, oh, let me go and get a doctor. So they then did the blood test, and they were like, no, he's severely jaundiced, and we need to take him into special care unit where he would have light therapy. So he had light therapy for a whole week with strong antibiotics as well. And it was just so traumatic, because in that 1 week, I think I must have cried so much that there was no comfort from the nurses, to the point that even when I went to the bathroom and came back, I found a nurse just feeding, trying to feed Ash formula milk, and I was actually expressing. So I was actually expressing my milk, and then he was feeding through a bottle. And then she turned around and said, "Your baby's very sick, and we don't think he's going to make it through." And I'm like, "What do you mean? Like, he's not going to make it through?" So she sort of like decides to tell me this when I'm on my own at 11 o'clock at night. And then straight away I phoned Manjit crying my eyes out, saying, "You know, this is what's happened." And then he got the doctor on, and then, you know, the doctor sort of like spoke to me and said, "No, it's not the case. You know, he is getting better and stuff." So anyway, so then that happened for a whole week. Finally, we got through the whole week. And then it wasn't until he was about 4 months old, and I was exclusively breastfeeding him, that he started to flare up in eczema. And we were actually in France. So my nephew is 4 days apart. So Ash and my nephew are both 4 days apart. So we decided that it'd be so nice to just go on a holiday. So we decided to go to the south of France. And then we were...
Can I just say how brave that is? Like, Will was in special care, and I couldn't even go to the busy supermarket, and I was like, "Oh my god, he'll die."
Yeah, I don't, you know what, James, even at that point when we came out of, I think when we came out of hospital, I was just so glad that I'm home, and so busy.
Yeah,
and I totally forgot about that experience.
That's really nice.
Which was... But I honestly don't know how that happened. I really don't.
Wait, it's to your credit. That's really good that you managed to do that and get out across there. Yeah, kudos.
Thank you. But then when he started to flare up in eczema, and then when we were in south of France, I actually thought maybe he's been exposed to sun like too much, where we put him out in the sun and then he was flaring up with eczema that way, because I do. So if I can't sit in the sun for more than 30 minutes, after that I get rash on my legs. And I thought maybe it was the same for Ash as well. But then it would sort of like, his skin would calm down and then he would flare up, calm down. And I didn't really pick up the pattern until we sort of like came back to the UK, and then I saw the GP and he's like, "No, it's just baby eczema, don't worry. Try the emollients, try all these bath oils." But it got really bad, because every night he'd be awake and he'd constantly cry, and I was getting tired, and then I'd lash out at Manjit because he was at work and I'm dealing with this tiny baby and I don't know why he's constantly crying. His skin's all flaring up. And I'm not getting the rest that I need. And then it wasn't until we started to actually wean him, and I thought it would be a good idea just to give him scrambled egg. And tiny bit of scrambled egg literally missed his mouth, fell on his stomach, and his whole stomach come up in hives. And when I called 111, I explained what the symptoms were, and they were like, "We don't know what you're talking about. Just give him cowpole and he'll be fine." Monitor him. So this is like, when I now look back at it, I'm like, I actually do laugh, because I think to myself, oh my God, like, there was no awareness around
that.
Even a medical professional that you're actually phoning at the other end has no idea what I'm talking about. And then it was then when I said to Manjit, "Something severely is wrong with Ash. We need to get him tested." And then we decided to go down the private medical route. And then we were booked in with a dermatologist, and she was absolutely amazing. Like, she was so good that she just took one look at Ash and she was like, "No, there's something more than this. And we better get some blood tests done." And then they did the blood test when he was about around about 6 months old. And then they came back that he was potentially allergic to wheat, dairy, eggs, all nuts, soya, and sesame. And I was just like totally shocked, because I didn't know what allergies were. And like I said, it wasn't something that I was exposed to when I was little. I had eczema and I had asthma, but back in the 80s, there wasn't any awareness around allergies. There was no link, you know, that the GP would say, "Yeah, your daughter's allergic to this, and that's why she flares up." And it was predominantly just treat the symptom back in the 80s. And then she was like, and then she said to us that, you know, Jay, if you're exclusively breastfeeding him, you need to remove all of these foods from your diet. So I decided, so I did that. 2 weeks of trying to do that, I literally had nothing to eat. I was lethargic. Mm. I was hungry all the time. And it actually impacted my relationship with Manjit as well, because I became very envious of him, that you're at work, you're able to eat, and I have this little baby, I don't know what to eat, I don't know what I'm doing, I need help here.
Yeah.
And then that's where our journey actually started from. And then even when we saw an allergy specialist, when we were referred to the allergy clinic, even then it didn't make sense to me. And I was like, I really don't understand, like, what I'm dealing with. And then the nurse was just like, here you go, these are the EpiPens. Just use them if he has a severe reaction. And I wasn't given the training, like, how to use them. That's where the actual allergy journey started. And 9 years on, we're still on that journey.
Yeah. I think you make some really good points as well along the what you were explaining. I just wanted to go back to like what you said about it being a good baby. Like, I remember similar with Quill, that he'd had sepsis and jaundice, and he was so quiet. Like, I thought, we've got this very quiet baby, and then all of a sudden there's that screaming episodes from, you know, when they're obviously symptomatic and coming round and things. But isn't it strange as a culture that, you know, we think that that's not a good baby?
It really is, isn't it? And I think when you're a first-time mum, you don't have anything to compare it to either. And I think my circumstances were very different, because my nephew had jaundice, but it wasn't as bad as Ash's, to the point that he needed light therapy.
Yeah.
But then I also had that comparison, like, with Ash's skin and his skin. So every time I touched my nephew, it was like, oh my God, your skin's so smooth, and Ash is really rough. So that was an indication that, Jay, I'm so sure, like, this is not the norm. But now when I joined the dots, I see it, that, you know, actually the reason why Ash has it is because I did have eczema and asthma. And that was one of the things, when I got pregnant with Ash, I was always aware that it's a potential that my children will have eczema and asthma. So I was already prepared for that, but not for the world of allergies, because it's nothing. It's like they say, what you don't know, you don't know. And now I do know, I can actually manage it, and I can do things, put things in place to actually, you know, keep Ash safe.
Absolutely. And the other point I wanted to go back to as well was what you were saying about how it impacts with your relationship with your partner. Like, I thought it was really interesting, because you've not ever sort of spoken about that before, but it's so true, you know.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there, and, you know, you spent the whole day with someone crying and screaming, just not able to fix it, and your partner's gone out to work, and they get a lunch break, and they get, you know, sleep and things, and you do end up having this really big envy, and it can sort of really put a tear in your relationship, can't it, you know, at that point. You have to have those conversations. But it's interesting you raise that, because I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably feel similar at times.
Definitely. For me, Loz wasn't in the house when Teddy had anaphylaxis, so by the time we got to the hospital, he'd had 3 shots of adrenaline, oxygen, steroids, and he looked back to normal.
Yeah.
And so he didn't appreciate how scary that was for me, because when he left, he looked well, and when he was back to him, he was in hospital, but he looked well. And so I remember there was one time Loz went to the park, and he didn't take the medication bag with him, and just kind of didn't appreciate the severity of it, I suppose. But obviously that was early days, and we've come on a long way since then. But I think, well, being the mothers on maternity leave, we experience a lot of the crying and the symptoms.
The appointments the mental load of it all.
Everything, isn't it? And I think it's, you know, when children get diagnosed with allergies, it's not just about looking after them, but it impacts every single thing that we do, because, you know, coming from a British South Asian culture, not only was I dealing with Ash's allergies, but I was also dealing with other people's judgments of how I was behaving when Ash was in an environment where it wasn't safe for him.
Yeah.
So it's layer upon layer of everything that actually happens in life, right? Which then impacts us emotionally and mentally. And then when we're most frustrated, it's so hard to communicate. And then it's your limiting belief that, oh my God, there's something wrong with me. Like, I need to change myself. You know, is it just me? Am I going crazy? Because those are the kind of thoughts I had. Yeah. Even when I used to go to the GP practice, like, you know, every other day I'd be in and out with, at the GP practice with talking to the health visitors.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, oh my God, Jay, like, just stop. Like, you're just being so crazy. But it wasn't until, Ash had that reaction with scrambled egg, then I was like, no, there's definitely something wrong here with him. That, you know, I said to Manjit, I'm not having it. Like, we need to do something now.
Yeah. And have those conversations. No, it's really interesting. And obviously we appreciate, you know, families look very, very different from our three circumstances. So, you know, partner dynamic sounds very similar here, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And obviously you've got Aaron as well. And how's that journey been? Because as far as Aaron doesn't have allergies, is that right?
No. So, so Aaron doesn't have any allergies. He doesn't even have eczema actually, but he did have a wheeze attack when he was very little. And it was that fear. I mean, I don't know. I mean, when I was pregnant with Aaron, secretly I was wishing that he has the same allergies as Ash, because I was like, if he does, my life will be so simple. Like, I wouldn't have to change anything, you know. The setup that I've got in my own
house. You wouldn't have to make those difficult decisions of having those foods in the house or not.
But then I did experiment with my pregnancy as well, and I decided that, you know, this time round I'm going to eat whatever I desire to eat. But I chose not to eat things like nuts and reduce the intake of dairy. But, you know, both of my pregnancies were very different. But then Aaron, because Ash was a because I had a traumatic birth with Ash, Aaron was a C-section baby. So I think, you know, delivery of both was very different. And Aaron didn't have any jaundice. He didn't have any antibiotics before the age of one. And sometimes I don't know, like, I sometimes think that, you know, how, and like, both of those babies are mine, but it just gets to show, right, that everyone's different and everyone's unique in their own way, that it's never, it's not all, you know, it's never going to be the same for everyone.
It's nice to share that side of things as well, though, from a perspective of yours, because a lot of guests and Kate's experiences that siblings have, you know, obviously had allergies as well. So it's nice that listeners can hear, you know, a different side of it as well. It's not always like that.
Definitely. And I think, you know, sibling being one of four, I see it in my own family where I was the only one who had eczema and asthma. My sister was diagnosed spina bifida when she was born. And then my brother got diagnosed with a rare form of cancer back in 2015. So, you know, we're all born from the same mother, but yet we all are very different and we've all had different medical diagnoses. Whereas my younger brother, he's absolutely fine. You know, no asthma, nothing. But yeah, the dynamic's very different for everyone.
Absolutely. No, it makes a lot of sense.
So, Jay, would you like to tell us a bit about allergy coaching and what you do there?
Yeah, so I actually started my allergy coaching back in, well, not allergy coaching, I went on my own coaching journey back in 2015 after my brother got diagnosed with a rare form of cancer, because I couldn't deal with Ash's allergies and deal with the trauma of my brother, what he went through. And now I'm a qualified allergy coach. So I support allergy mums and to transform their mindset and offer solutions to the challenges that they face when they deal with allergies. And I help them gain freedom to live their desired lifestyle by providing tools to take back control of their life. So coaching is very different for everyone. It's unique to their own requirements. So I do one-to-one coaching. And coaching is all about investigating the thoughts, understanding where the thoughts are coming from, what they're feeling. And so much more than just that. So that's what allergy coaching is.
That's interesting. So a lot of it is around like feeling that you lose control. A few people have said that to us, haven't they, Kate?
Yeah.
Like about the sort of lack of control. So yeah, it's interesting to have something to support people with that.
Definitely. I mean, my own coaching in 2015. Like I said, that, it was a struggle for me. But it's helped me so much in regards to understand who I am as a person,
mm-hmm.
and really understand the environment that I'm in as well, like who supports me, who doesn't support me, and limiting my own beliefs. And so much.
Because I imagine it's quite having gone through your own health journey to then see your child go through a health journey can kind of come with your experiences as well. How have you found that, navigating it? Do you find it helpful to have been through that? Or
yeah, I do, because I think there's quite a few things that I've actually felt that has been helpful. One, in understanding when they have a wheeze attack, how they feel.
Yeah,
I know how I felt, so I'm able to relate to them. But also spotting the symptoms very quickly.
Yeah,
as well,
definitely. Right? Yeah.
When I was little, and my GP said that next time you have a wheeze attack, just have a look at your stomach, and if it's really, if you're struggling to breathe and you're using your stomach muscles to breathe, then that means you're wheezy. And now, like, I can spot it with the boys.
Yeah.
A cough, and even like the sound of the cough as well.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can tell like that tight, dry cough.
Definitely, because I think the sound of the cough changes when you have a wheezy chest. So it's really easy for me to spot. Whereas if it's Manjit, he's like, no, they're all right. I'm like, no, they're getting wheezy. And then I give them the inhalers straight away, so I don't delay with that. And then I just like monitor them, on an hourly basis. But in the last 9 years, I think Ash had been admitted to hospital 3 times with a wheeze attack and Aaron once. But then I also learned from the nurses how to use the inhalers, because that's the other thing, that when you're a first-time mum and you're given things like inhalers, you're not really taught how to use them correctly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then when Ash was admitted in hospital the second time round, I asked them to teach me how to use it. And there's actually a technique that, when they have a wheeze attack, how many puffs you can go up to, and how many hours it should last, and when you should bring them into hospital. And I think having that information has been really useful.
Yeah, it's about following that action plan, isn't it? So going back to the coaching, Jay, if you had any advice to give allergy parents listening to this, what would you offer?
So the advice I'd give to them, that if you're feeling fearful, anxiety, and preventing you from living, reach out, because that's the time to ask for help, and don't suffer in silence. And I did this for a very long time, where I actually suffered in silence. And it wasn't until I actually joined my own coaching journey that I realized that within one weekend, how it had changed everything, how I perceived the world and how I felt within myself. And then speaking to a stranger is sometimes a lot more easier than speaking to someone within your family, because you're just you, and you're able to express everything that you're feeling without the filter of judgment. And it's a safe place for people that want to invest in themselves, understand what they're feeling, and really get control of, how they feel with their fear and anxiety. So that's what I do, is provide them solutions, tools and techniques on how to manage certain emotions and things like that.
Oh, that sounds really helpful.
So if anyone would like more information on that, you can go to Jay's Instagram page, which is ash_friendly, or you can go to the website, which is ashfriendly.co.uk.
Yes, that's right.
Jay, I also noticed that you've got a Facebook page. I think this is quite a new thing, is it?
Yes, it is. It only launched last week, Friday, I think it was. Yes, so it's a private allergy club, a Facebook group for allergy mums to come and join, where they get one-to-one support. And it's a safe place for everyone to just share what they're feeling. And I overlook that group. So, and then I provide them with solutions and information that they need to take forward with them. So it's free, so anyone can join it.
Oh, that's amazing. What's that called?
The Allergy Club.
The Allergy Club. That's brilliant.
On Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Jay, for coming along today. We've learned so much from you, and your coaching sounds brilliant. So, yeah, I think that you'll help so many people, and I'll definitely be checking out your Allergy Club on Facebook as well, because that sounds really useful.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so, you know, it is. And, you know, I want you to create a safe place for everyone to just come together and just share what you're feeling, because I feel that when we start to express what we feel so much more lighter. And, you know, it just makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Wow. Thank you so much, Jay. And we'll put the links and your Instagram handle in our show notes for anyone that would like to access those.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me, Jay.
Thank you. Bye. As anyone who follows us on social media will know, we have recently welcomed two new members to the Free From Mummies podcast team, and that is Jules and Rachel. We are absolutely so honoured to have you working with us and cannot thank you enough for the difference that you've already made and the support you've offered through the social media pages. Today, Jules is going to share a little bit about her story and some things about herself. Thanks, Jules.
I'm Jules, and I'm really excited to be joining the Free From Mummies podcast team. I'm going to be working on our social media page on Mondays, Thursdays and Fridays. A little bit about me. So I am a mum to Max, who is 3, and Phoebe, who is 5 months old. Max is a typical 3-nager. He loves trains, he loves Paw Patrol, and he's really into puffins at the moment. I don't know where that one's come from, but he loves puffins. And the other thing about Max is that he's got serious food allergies. So we found out at 6 months old, when we were weaning him, that he is allergic to milk. That was a very dramatic anaphylactic reaction on a trip to hospital. And since then, we've also found out that he's allergic to eggs, soya, sesame, peanuts, and nuts. People who have followed our allergy journey will know that recently we had skin prick tests, which showed that hopefully he's growing out of the soya and the peanut allergies. So we're going to start those ladders in the coming weeks. So I will update everyone how we get on and any new recipes that we come across in the ladder. When Max was diagnosed, we made a decision as a family that we wanted him to be safe in his own home. So we have stopped eating the food that he's allergic to. And so although that has been limited, because there's quite a lot of things he's allergic to, it's also helped me to become a better cook. So I have to make a lot of food from scratch, which is not something that I would ever have done before this diagnosis. So we're trying to see the positives in it. As I said, I'm really excited to be working with the team and happy to share my story as we go along. I think allergy parents will know it's something that you can talk for hours and hours about, and it's really nice to have other people that understand. So yeah, if I can help other people feel less alone, I'm really happy to do that. Thank you. Bye.